Once I was driving up the side of Paris Mountain in Greenville, South Carolina. Now, I'm from around here, and if you haven't noticed, we don't have mountains in Chicago. Well, I was trying to make a very important meeting, and the houses were not very well marked. I finally found the house. I could not see the driveway, so I thought I'd just drive right up into their yard. And as I was proceeding just fine, a drainage ditch decided to erupt right into their yard, buried by about 2 feet of grass. And I felt my car slam against that drainage ditch. Now, ever since then, I've tried to be careful of how and where I drive my car. My car never really was the same after that. But it reminds me that every decision that we make is extremely important. Every turn that we take is taking us somewhere. And wrong pathways have very bad consequences. So we need to wake up. We need to pay attention. Your steps are taking you somewhere. And our only hope this morning is found in Ephesians 4. Our only hope is that we would have the mind of someone that could guide us in the right direction. If you have a GPS system, it does you no good if the map is out of date. You know, we were on 355, and I turned on the GPS, and the GPS told us we were driving on fields and on water. If your GPS isn't correct, if it isn't updated, you're not going to go in the right direction. And I'm so glad that the Bible gives us a promise in Ephesians 4. Would you open there and stand as we read this morning about this mind that we can have? We read, beginning with verse 17, I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. When he's speaking of Gentiles, he's talking about people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, or license to do whatever they want, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or conduct or lifestyle, that ye put off the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And here it is, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let us even now ask the Lord to give us this renewed mind, the mind of Christ, to guide us. Let's pray. Lord, we all need guidance. What terrible decisions we have made, what horrendous steps we have taken, what bad directions we have gotten because we have not followed Jesus. We have not forsaken everything and followed after the one who knows all and knows what is best. Lord, I pray for everyone here that you would teach us the importance of having the mind of Christ, the availability of this mind for everyone who would repent of their sins and turn to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? You've been radically changed, transformed. You're not what you once were, and you never will be that person ever again. The Bible says you've learned of Christ in this passage. He himself taught you, and at that time you put off the old lifestyle, the old man, and you put on this new man, which was the very presence of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So you're changed, you're transformed, your heart has been broken. God has put a new heart, a tender heart in you. You're changed. Aren't you glad to be saved? Aren't you glad that God called you, and that when you called on the name of the Lord, he justified you? all your sins are forgiven, as far as the east is from the west. So you're changed. You're in God's family. The question is, what's next? What's the next step? Perhaps your friends, your family think you have gone off the deep end. And they're scratching their head and they're saying, it's just a phase. Yes, they said that of me, and 19 years later, this has been an extended phase in my life that will go all the way through eternity. Amen? But what do you do now? What happens after that great change? This is what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 4 in these verses. We call this journey that we start on after we come to know Jesus Christ, we call it sanctification. What it means is to be made holy like God is holy. We hear these references throughout the Bible. Be holy as I am holy. Be pure as the Lord Jesus Christ is pure. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. To get on this journey to Christ-likeness, to be conformed into the image of Christ, is called sanctification. And what God calls it in verse 23 in our text is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. To have the very mind of Christ. Romans 12 and verse 2, be transformed. Transformed into what? Transformed into the image of Christ by the renewing of your mind. You're excited, you're transformed, you're saved. And then what happens? You have a bad thought. You follow that thought and you sin. And you say, well, I thought I was a Christian. I thought I was never going to sin again. Well, the Bible says if you say that you have no sin, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. But if you are a true believer, you will hate sin. You will hate it. You won't want to get near it. And when you fall into sin, you need to renew your mind. Not only that, we forget things. You may not even fall into sin. You may simply forget the beauty and the awesomeness of God's presence. And so you need to renew your mind. We're going to talk about what that means. We're going to talk about what it looks like when someone has a renewed mind. And then we're going to talk about the labor, the hard work of being sanctified into the image of Jesus Christ. Are you excited this morning? You're ready to learn? You're ready to take in the truth of God? What a privilege it is that we have this. So many people around the world don't even have a Bible. We have a Bible. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is present with us. Even right now, He's teaching us. So what does it mean exactly to be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Essentially, it is the ongoing work of the Spirit of God in your heart, changing you one step at a time, one sinful habit being thrown away at a time, to where you're conformed into the beautiful image of the perfect Son of God. It is to be under the constant control and possession of Jesus Christ. It is to have the mind of Jesus, ruling in every decision that you make. So to be renewed in the spirit of your mind means exactly what it says. To make new again and again and again and again. Not just day by day, but moment by moment. To be thrilled all over again that Jesus is Lord, that He's a mighty Savior, that even though you're a great sinner, He's a great Savior. It is to return to and a rekindling of a previous condition of newness. It is to be reminded that you're a child of God and that your sins are forgiven. It implies that there are constant distractions and possible departures from the condition of holiness and Christ-likeness. And we need to be constantly brought back to a pure mind and a pure heart and a conscience that doesn't accuse us. Now, understand what the mind is. The mind here is speaking of the inner man. In other places, Paul says in Ephesians 3:16 that we are to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So the mind here is not simply talking about your intellectual powers. It is speaking of the very person, the very being who you are, your inner man. To renew means to do it continually. It means to constantly be doing it. Have you ever had to wash your car after you bought that brand new car? Did you have to wash it? You had to return it to that nice new condition. Maybe you got some special cleaners and you got into the carpets and you cleaned it out and maybe even got under the hood and you did a complete detail on the engine and it looked brand new. Of course, that's a material illustration. It falls short of what God does. God makes us clean and pure throughout in the renewing of our mind. And we have to do it day after day after day. Every so often, when my computer is slowing to a halt and there's a lot of junk on it, I have to wipe it clean and return it to factory settings. How many of you ever had to reset your hard drive? It's hard. It's no fun. But you're so happy you did it after it's done. And everything's the way it should be, and it's zipping by, it's zooming by. See, so often we're beset by so many sins and distractions. They beset us. But we need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to constantly be looking at Jesus. Lord, renew my mind, refresh me, revitalize me, restore the joy of my salvation, create in me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me. When I was in college, my wife was studying for her nurse's degree 500 miles away. I loved her. Daily I would look at her picture and the reminder of her would rekindle and renew my love for her. I never got tired of her picture. I wouldn't only do it daily, I would look at her picture several times a day. And I have to make a confession, it never got old. It rekindled my passion. And that's what we need to do every day, moment by moment, looking unto Jesus, renewing our mind, letting the passion for God well up into us, forsaking all, following Jesus, moment by moment. This is how the path to holiness travels. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:16, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We are to take up our cross daily, Luke 9:23 says, and follow Christ. It is a continual, it is a renewal again and again and again, making your heart and your mind new in Jesus Christ. Daily, we are called to recommitment to Christ. Daily, we are called to renew our vows to Jesus Christ. Now, understand that we are to be renewed. Just like a car is to be painted. A car does not paint itself. Someone paints the car. The word be is a passive word. How do you be? You just are. It's passive. And so to be renewed is to understand who is doing the work of renewal. To be renewed is not to make yourself new. It's not for you to do the work. It is to receive the work that God has for you. And so we need to understand that not only is it a continual thing, it's a continual process, we need to also understand that it is Christ Himself that does the actual renewing in you. We are to commit ourselves to Christ's lordship and control in everything that we do. God is perfectly ready to renew you. He is perfectly ready to do all in you, to make you what you ought to be, what He has planned for you to be. He is perfectly able. He is omnipotent. He is ready to do it. The only question is, do you want it? Will you receive this renewal? Will you give yourself completely to the Lord? There are just two choices on the shelf, serving God and serving self. Will you be in slavery to the self life Oh, the slave master of sin will bring misery into your life. How many of you have been a slave to alcohol? How many of you have been a slave to the media? How many of you have been a slave to food? How many of you have been a slave to pleasing people, to relationships, getting the approval of men? Oh, that's slavery. But if you have the Son will set you free, and then you will be free indeed. Would you have renewal, or would you have slavery to sin? Those are the two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Now, renewing your mind has never meant stuffing your head with intellectual knowledge alone. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 8:1 that knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge is good for making you proud. Becoming an egghead about God will not make you holy. It will only make your heart cold and proud. This is such a sacred revelation that we must receive it with all humility. If you do not receive this revelation with humility, you will become the most vile person on earth. God will hate you. There is nothing more ugly than someone who holds the revelation of God with pride and haughtiness. We call those people hypocrites. They are the worst people on earth. They may be in our churches, but they do not reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Romans 1:22 tells us that there are those who profess themselves to be wise and instead became fools. They have a form of godliness, 2 Timothy 3:5 says, but they deny the power thereof. Oh, they have the modified behavior. They look religious. They act religious. They speak religious words, but there is no power in the Spirit. All of this is done in carnal power, in the power of our own flesh. And it is worthless. So let me review. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind is to come back to that condition again and again and again of purity and holiness in Jesus Christ. To put it another way, it is to constantly submit to the mind of Christ, to the lordship of Christ over all of your thoughts and all of your plans, your agenda. It is committing yourself to walk with Christ in you, to be taught of Christ in you, to know Christ in you, to be changed by Him continually as He works His mind in you. As Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in you. It is Jesus Christ. It is His very mind controlling you, controlling every action that you take, controlling every thought that you have. Philippians chapter 2 tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:2 tells us the same thing. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This renewing is spoken of in John 15 as abiding in Christ. In fact, it is a personal thing. It is not removed from God. It is not just some intellectual endeavor. In fact, it is the very presence of God. Ephesians describes it as being filled with the Spirit. We are to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. So it is the very Spirit of Christ in you, renewing your mind to reflect the very mind of God. Now, we found out what it means to have a renewed mind. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 12, and I want us to ask the question, what does the renewed mind actually look like? How can I tell the difference between someone who doesn't have a renewed mind and someone who does have a renewed mind? You would think that there would be a difference between someone who is filled with the very presence of God, the holiness of God is actually indwelling that person, and someone who is completely on their own. Wouldn't you think there's a difference here? Well, there is. Look at Romans 12 and verse 1. And what we're going to find is that there are five marks of a renewed mind. There's surrender, there's self-denial, there's obedience, there's humility, and there is service. And this is the picture of Jesus Christ in a human being. Look at this. The first mark of a renewed mind is absolute surrender. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do I have a renewed mind? You have to ask yourself that question right now. This is not theology. This is for you. This is to prepare you for the moment that you die. Ask yourself, examine yourself, have I surrendered my mind to God? Does God choose what I put under my eyes? Does God choose what I listen to with my ears? Am I a living sacrifice? What is a sacrifice? Someone would give an animal, and that animal's life would be taken, and it would be given as a sacrifice to God. Is your life completely in the hands of God? Your thoughts, your mind, your agenda. Do you say, these are my plans, God? Or do you say, not my will, but thine be done? Are you absolutely surrendered to God? Have you given God possession of your friendships and your relationships? Have you given God your attitudes? You say, well, I'm not going to get angry or hurt because that doesn't please you, God. That doesn't reflect you. Are you totally surrendered to God? Have you given God your tongue? God, I could never say this word or that word because I know that it doesn't reflect you. If I'm totally in your possession, I will only say the things that Christ would say. Do you exalt yourself over those you have contact with, especially those that you are closest with? Do you serve others or do you demand to be served? That will show whether you are surrendered or not. So the first mark is surrender. Do you have a renewed mind? Are you surrendered? The second mark is denial. We are to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Paul said it this way, put off the old man, deny yourself. The way Paul says it here in Romans chapter 12, he says, be not conformed to this world. The Christian life is countercultural. Whatever is in the world, the majority of the time, it is normally not holy. We are to be countercultural as a people group. We are to give the image of Jesus Christ, not the image of this world. And that takes denial. That is hard work. In fact, Jesus compares it to going to death, getting on the instrument of death willingly. Have you done that? If you have not gone to death on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, then you do not have a renewed mind. Jesus said in Mark 8:34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 13:44, let me show you the positive part to this. Because Christ says that the kingdom of heaven, that is Christianity, someone who comes to know Christ and is in his kingdom, is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. He finds the treasure, and then he buries it again, essentially, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Do you know that we are called to deny ourselves, but it's not a difficult denial? Because when you see the treasure of Christ, what is it to deny ourselves the false treasures of this world? Oh, Christ is so precious. He's so glorious. He's so beautiful. Renew your mind and don't be deceived by the pleasures of this world. In fact, Mark says in chapter 10, there's a statement by Peter. He says, Lord, haven't we forsaken all? And Christ says to Peter in Mark 10:29, There is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You see, your choices based on the renewal of your mind may mean that you will lose your house. Perhaps you've gotten into a financial agreement with your house that is unethical. And you may lose your house because you must make the decisions based on the mind of Christ. Or maybe your relationships with family and friends will be disrupted. You might even lose wealth and prosperity because of it. But don't lose heart, because the Lord promises that we will receive an hundredfold now in this time. And can you attest to this? There is a house that I can go to, any one of your houses, not only here, but across the world. The lovers of Jesus Christ. I can go to Spain, I can go to Brazil, I can go to Portugal, I can go to China, and my brethren are there waiting for me. My mothers, my sisters, my fathers, and all the lands. We are a family in Christ. And so, renewal of the mind means denial of this world. The third mark is obedience. So there is total surrender, denial of the world. The third mark is obedience. Back in Romans 12, he says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Listen to this, "that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Let me read that again. You're to be transformed, recreated by the renewing of your mind. And by doing this, you will absolutely do the will of God. God's will be done on earth in your life as it is in heaven. Isn't that glorious? If you have a renewed mind, you are guaranteed to be doing the will of God. The Bible says it this way in Galatians 5:16, "Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." You will be guided by God Himself. You will not need to call a person on TBN to find out what you need to do for a decision. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John that you need that no man teach you. Everyone has the anointing who is saved. And that anointing teaches us to abide in Christ. That's a paraphrase, but that's essentially what it says. And so the renewed mind constantly bears out the perfect will of God. If your mind is aflame for Christ, then Christ has possession of you. You're abiding in Christ, you're filled with the Spirit, and you are fulfilling the perfect will of God. The fourth mark, and this is where the rubber really meets the road. The fourth mark is found in verse 3 of Romans 12, and that is humility. This is what it looks like. You want to see what the perfect will of God looks like? Let me explain it to you. He says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." You want to see if God has sovereignly dealt to you a measure of faith? This here speaks of faith being a gift. You want to see how God has given you a measure of faith? Your faith is measured by how little you think you are among other people. Humility. Christ humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humility is death. Humility is dying to thinking of yourself as somebody who is actually important. You think of yourself as nothing. In fact, Philippians 2 says it this way. Philippians 2:3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves." Then verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let this mind be in you, that would humble you to die to everything in you. Now, verse 16 of Romans 12 says the same thing. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. In other words, someone with a renewed mind, with the mind of Christ, is not going to try to be attempting high things. He's not going to be trying to attempt things that will make him look important to get applause of men. If your mind is under the power of Christ, you won't do things so that people will think that you're somebody. Instead, this is what you do. Counterculture, okay? This is totally counterculture. Instead, you should associate yourself with the most humble, forgotten people of this earth. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. And isn't that exactly what Jesus did? Luke 15 tells us it was always the publicans and the sinners, the forgotten people of society, that drew near to Jesus. A person with a renewed mind is going to seek out the forgotten people. Now let's apply it to us. The humility of the mind of Christ marks us with a love for people. If you're humble, you will love people. It will cause you not to be in competition with people, but to deeply love them. By this, John says, all men shall know that ye are my disciples by your love one for another. Let me read you what Andrew Murray said about this in his book, Absolute Surrender. He says, how often sharp criticism, sharp judgment, hasty opinion, unloving words, secret contempt one for another are found among Christians who are banded together. Just as a mother has tender compassion for her children's failures, so ought we to have strong love one for another. If a man say, and he's quoting 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? In other words, if you've got your mind renewed in Jesus Christ, you get up from your knees or from your car where you're meditating on Jesus Christ, you get out of your car, your vehicle, and you look at a humanity and you say, oh God, what a privilege it is to serve every single one of these people. I'm the least person in this church. I'm the least person in the grocery store. I'm so glad to be out of hell. I am nothing. You are everything. God, how can I serve you by serving others? And that brings us to the fifth mark, which is service. And I'm just going to read some of these verses. Verses 4 and 5 say that we're members of one body. Verses 6 through 8 say that we have differing gifts. But Romans 9 through 21 specifically show us how the mind of Christ in us performs the perfect will of God. What does God in us look like? When you got saved, God dwells in you now. What does that look like in a life when God dwells in a person? I told you, there is a huge difference, isn't there? The perfect will of God looks like, verse 9, love without dissimulation. It says, let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy, without a two-facedness. Abhor or be disgusted with that which is evil. This is what it looks like to have the mind of Christ. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Anybody have a lot of tribulation in their life? Be patient in that. That's how you know you've got the mind of Christ. Continuing constant in prayer, instant, which means constant. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Do you complain? You don't have a renewed mind. Do you bless? You do have a renewed mind. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. What compassion. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. You ever try to get even with somebody? You need to renew your mind. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. What? That's countercultural. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. This is not in vengeance. This is something that they used to do to keep people warm. It wouldn't actually go on their head. At any rate, that could give you the wrong idea of what this verse means. But it's showing kindness to your enemy. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now that is a renewed mind. That's what it looks like. Now lastly, now that we've seen what it means to have a renewed mind, we've seen what it looks like, I want to show you how you must labor to maintain a renewed mind. Renewing your mind is the whole purpose of your life if you profess to know Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are literally Christ followers. It is not that we follow simply precepts in a book. It is that Jesus Christ Himself dwells in us. And He guides us certainly according to His Word, but also His very presence leads us with wisdom in His Word. Isn't that amazing? We not only have a book, we have the author of the book dwelling in us. We must labor. This is our one labor in life. And it's seen throughout the Bible. We're told to walk circumspectly, to keep our heart with all diligence, to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, to be zealous of good works, to fight the good fight of faith, to walk in the Spirit, to run with patience the race that is set before us. We're called to contend for the faith, to finish the course. And the verse we're going to look at specifically is 1 Timothy 4:7. It tells us to exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, exercise is what we must do. And here's the idea. Putting off sinful habits, putting off the old life, takes exercise. We must constantly put off the bad things. If you want to be an athlete, you cannot eat Captain Crunch cereal every day. You've got to get rid of that. You've got to eat proteins. You've got to eat fruits and vegetables. You put off the bad and take in the good. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm sorry to inform you, but this exercise will not come from human power. It doesn't come from you. The Bible says in Philippians 2:12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The next verse says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Remember I said renewing your mind is a passive thing? You surrender to the renewal and you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God does the work in you. As Paul said, Christ liveth in me. It is Christ who manages my mind, who manages my footsteps. You have the ability now. In Ephesians, he spent 3 chapters telling us how we were dead in our sins. And now he's telling us we're raised. We didn't have the ability, but now we have the ability. So now we're to fight, we're to contend, we're to do all these things, not in our own power, but in whose power? In God's power. He says in Ephesians 3:16 that God would grant us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I want you to see this in the lives of 2 people, what it looks like in the life of Paul and the life of Jesus this morning in 1 Corinthians 2. Just turn over there briefly. He says, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now look at what he says in verse 3. I was with you in what? Weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Do you see how weak his flesh was? He says, my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words. He wasn't a great orator. Maybe he was not very well spoken. And he says, it wasn't with enticing words of man's wisdom. I wasn't trying to put something over you. But it was, listen to this, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. A renewed mind. From the human side, you might look at a person and they might look weak and feeble. But on the divine side, there is omnipotence. And that is true of everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus. We do not rest on the flesh. In fact, Paul says in Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect? Are you now going to be sanctified by the power of your flesh? What's the answer to that question? There's no way. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And what is Paul's response? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Now, you might be spent. You might be tired. You might be sick. You might be weak. You might be nothing impressive to this world. But if you will yield yourself to God, to the very power of God, He will renew your mind, and the very power of heaven will dwell in you. It has nothing to do with any natural abilities. It has nothing to do with any giftedness on your part, any power whatsoever. You cannot perform the renewing of your mind. It is completely, fully the work of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I want you to see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus, John 3:34 says, had the Spirit of God without measure. No question that He is God in the flesh. But when we look at Him, we see someone who is weak. We see Him 40 days in the wilderness, weakness. His flesh is weak. We see Him trembling and praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's weak. We see Him flogged and beaten, standing there. He's weak. We see Him hanging on the cross. He's weak. But it is through that weakness, total submission, total death, that we see the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that same resurrection power is seen in everyone who knows Jesus Christ. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead raises your spirit to newness of life. This is the renewed mind. This is what it looks like. This is what it is, and this is the power of God, but it also, and I'll close with this, it takes practice. And this is what I mean. There's hard work. To get to a cross is hard work, right? You must yield yourself. You must die to yourself. It's not something that's easy. No weightlifter goes to these heavy weights and says, I've never lifted these weights before. I think I'll look at the heaviest one, and I think I'll start with this one. Is that how it goes? You look at those gymnasts, the word in 1 Timothy 4:7, where he says, exercise thyself unto godliness. The word exercise is the word from which we get gymnastics from. It's a term related to athletics. You know, when the Olympics come to your television set, you look at those gymnasts, and they're on those bars, and they're doing all these amazing things. Do you think that the first time they jumped on those bars was during the gold medal competition? No, they began long before that with such practice that they could get up on those bars with a whole world watching and do those things without even thinking about it. And that is how we are to do. We are to exercise ourselves unto godliness. We are to practice. We are to renew our mind and constantly do what God wants us to do. How are we to do that? How? Well, number one, let me give you these practical applications. Number one, be careful what you feed on. Examine yourself and put off any barrier that would quench the Spirit. Are you feeding on anything that quenches the Spirit of God? there is an expression, garbage in, garbage out. If we give our minds to nasty things, then our behavior very soon will match those nasty kinds of thoughts sooner or later. And so, be careful what you feed on. Secondly, practice the replacement principle. Cut off the ungodly counsel from your mind and cleanse your mind by the word. Ephesians 5:25 says that Christ loved the church. And who's the church? If you're born again, you are the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The way you can renew your mind and put your mind in the form of Jesus Christ's mind is to constantly put your mind under the cleansing fountain of the Word of God. Let Scripture be your guide. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Now, as I said, we're beginning a journey through the New Testament in 40 days. Now, after this journey is done, you'll be a changed person. Don't you believe that? People that have gone through this audio Bible, they have said they've gotten through it once and they listen to it again. And they keep listening to it all throughout the year, several times, to where they're amazed, constantly saturated in the Word of God, in the mind of Christ. And this Bible is the mind of Christ. Do you want your mind renewed? I want you to take the challenge. Do something very practical. Take the challenge to listen to the New Testament in the next 40 days. That's my challenge to you. You want a renewed mind? Everything that you listen to in the New Testament, surrender yourself to it. Humble yourself. Give yourself completely to it and find yourself doing the perfect will of God with a renewed mind.